Today we come to second jhana, and then third jhana, and the fourth jhana. And the translation given on the sheet, I think easier to understand or clearer. So please look at these translations also. Now, after getting the first jhana, when a person wants to get the second jhana, the first thing he should do is what? Finds fault with the first jhana. So after getting the first jhana, he thought it was not good enough. And with the first jhana, there are five jhana factors. Initial application, sustained application, PT, and sukha, happiness, and one-pointedness of mind. Now, this person, after getting the first jhana, sees danger in being close to the hindrances. So by overcoming hindrances, he was able to get the first jhana. So when he gets the first jhana, it is free from hindrances, but it is with initial application, sustained application, and so on. Now he finds fault with initial application and sustained application, or in Pali, vitakka and vichara. And so he tries to be dispassionate towards these two factors and try to eliminate them. So when he is able to eliminate them, then he will get the second jhana. So after the first jhana, after gaining the first jhana, he tries to get mastery over in dealing with the first jhana, say quickly entering into it, quickly emerging from it, and so on. So when it is on page 161, paragraph 138, so when he has emerged from the first jhana, applied and sustained thought appear gross to him. Applied thought means initial application, and sustained thought means sustained application. Appear gross to him as he reviews the jhana factors with mindfulness and full awareness. So he enters into the first jhana, emerges from that jhana, and reviews the factors in that jhana. There are five factors in the first jhana. So when he reviews them, the first two factors, here, applied thought and sustained thought appear gross to him. While happiness and bliss, happiness is piti in Pali, and bliss is sukha. So happiness, bliss, and unification of mind is ekagata, one-pointedness of mind, appear peaceful. Then, as he brings that same sign to mind as earth again and again, so after reviewing the jhana factors, he dwells upon the counterpart sign he got during the preliminary stages. So he takes that counterpart sign as the object of meditation and concentrates on it, saying again and again, with the purpose of abandoning the gross factors and obtaining the peaceful factors. Knowing now the second jhana will arise, now we'll have to correct this. When second jhana is about to arrive, not knowing, he doesn't know when it will arise. So this is a Pali idiom. I've told you about this before. So when the second jhana is about to arise, there arises in him mind or adverting with that same earth kasina as its object, interrupting the life continuum. If you look at the first jhana chart, first jhana sheet, at the bottom It has given the thought process. So the same thought process. So cutting off the bhavanga or life continuum, there arises M, that is mind or adverting. And then there are four moments of sense, fear, impulsion or javana. And then the fifth is jhana. For a person who is who has quick intelligence or quick realization, then there will be only three sense fear javanas, and then the fourth is jhana. So there arises in him mind or adverting with that same adhikasina as a subject interrupting the life continuum. After that, either four or five impulsions impel on that same object, depending on whether the person is of quick intelligence or slow intelligence. The last one of which is an impulsion of fine material sphere. So the last one means the fifth or the fourth. And that belongs to fine material sphere, that is rupa vajra. Here, this is the second jhana. The rest are of the sense sphere of the kinds already stated. So the rest means the preceding ones, four or three. And now comes the description of the second jhana, the translation of the description of second jhana. So I've made a new translation. It cannot be used for all people, but I think for the class it is better. So with the stilling, that means overcoming of vitakka and vichara, he enters upon and dwells in the second jhana, which arises internally, which has, or literally, which is confidence and arouses singleness of mind, or which clarifies the mind and arouses singleness, which is without vitakka and vichara, which is born of concentration and with piti and sukha, or which is with piti and sukha born of concentration. So this is the description of the second jhana. Whenever there is a description of second jhana, the same sentences, the same stock sentences are repeated many times in the suttas and abhidhamma. Now the first is with the stilling, or it means overcoming of vitakka and vichara. So when a person wants to get to the second jhana, to attain second jhana, then he has to overcome or to abandon vitakka and vichara. So with the stilling, overcoming of vitakka and vichara really means because of the stilling or overcoming of vitakka and vichara, he enters upon and dwells in the second jhana, which arises internally. Jhana is one's arises in one's mind, and so it does not arise in other persons or outside things. So it is internal, and which is confidence, and which arouses singleness of mind. Now, if you. If you have read the Path of Purification, so you will find this. This is page 162 and paragraph 142. Now, in Pali, the word used is sampasadana, which means just confidence or sabda. You remember sabda? They are among the 52 chetasikas. It's confidence or faith. So here, The jhana itself is called confidence or faith. It is figuratively speaking. But the meaning is which is accompanied by confidence or which is accompanied by faith. So for this class we would say which is confidence. But for general purposes we should say which has confidence. That is, which arises together with what is called saddha. confidence or faith. And the function of confidence or faith is to clear the mind, to clear the mind of doubt and others. And which arouses singleness of mind. Singleness of mind really means concentration. And there is another explanation, and that is which clarifies the mind and arouses singleness. Now, the Pali words are given in the footnote. And if you look at it, footnote number 41, in the Pali, Sampasadana Chitaso Iko Dibhavan. Chitaso means of mind. And that comes between two words, Sampasadanam and Ikodi Bhavan. So the word Chitaso can be connected with Sampasadanam or Ikodi Bhavan. So the commentary or the path of purification is explaining this. When it is connected with the first one, then that means clarifying the mind, or which clarifies the mind. And when it is connected with the other word, Eko Dibhavan, it means arouses singleness of mind, because Eko Dibhavan means singleness and Chitaso means of mind. So the word Chitaso can be connected with the previous word or the following word. So that is what is explained in the paragraph 142, 43, yeah. And which is without vitaka and vijara, and which is born of concentration. That means after getting the first jhana, he practices meditation again and gets second jhana. So the second jhana is said to be caused by or conditioned by the concentration in the first jhana. Or it is accompanied by concentration when it arises, the second jhana. So here, the concentration can be taken as that which is with first jhana or with second jhana. Both can be taken, or either can be taken. So which is born of concentration and which is accompanied by piti and sukha. There is another explanation, that is, which is with piti and sukha born of concentration. So piti and sukha here are conditioned by concentration, and so they are said to be born of concentration. So this is the explanation of the second jhana. So the second jhana, a person gets the second jhana after abandoning vitaka and vijara. And that jhana is internal, and that jhana clarifies the mind and arouses singleness of mind, and that jhana is without vitaka and vijara. And that jhana is born of concentration and accompanied by piti and sukha, or it is accompanied by piti and sukha born of concentration. And then there are some problems, and so they are all explained here. Now, in here it is said that the second jhana has confidence. That means second jhana is accompanied by the chitasika, saddha, or confidence. But this saddha accompanies first jhana also. So, paragraph 144, does not this faith exist in the first jhana too, and also this concentration with the name of the single thing? Because in the first jhana, with first jhana, there arise a number of chitasikas, and among them there is saddha or faith or confidence, and also unification of mind or one-pointedness of mind. So why do you say that the second jhana is with confidence and is second jhana arouses singleness of mind, because they are in the first jhana also. So that problem, the commentator of the path of purification solves here. Then why is only this second jhana said to have confidence and singleness of mind? It may be replied as follows. It is because that first jhana is not fully confident owing to the disturbance created by applied and sustained thought. When there is the vitaka and vichara, they are like taking mind to the object, pushing the mind to this object and that object, and so they tend to distract the mind. So when there is vitaka and vichara with the jhana, then saddha, confident, is not good enough. It is not fully confident. It is not fully clarifying. Like water ruffled by ripples and wavelets. That is why, although faith does exist in it, it is not called. It means the first jhana is not called having confidence. And there are two, concentration is not fully evident because of the lack of full confidence. And when the saddha is not strong, then concentration is also not strong there. That is why it is not called arousing concentration or arousing singleness.
Concentration is ekagata, the mental factor?
Yes, yeah. But in this second jhana, faith is strong, having got a footing in the absence of impediments of applied and sustained thoughts. But in the second jhana, there are no vitaka and vichara to disturb. So faith is strong in this jhana. And when faith is strong, concentration also becomes strong. That is why only this jhana is described as having confidence and arousing concentration.
Now, is that the highest form of concentration?
No, not yet. This is just the second level of concentration. So we will have third, fourth, and then, not in this chapter, but in later chapters, we'll go to the formless jhanas also. So this is only the second stage of concentration. That may be understood as the reason why only this jhana is described in this way. But this much is actually stated in the Vibhanga too, with the words confidence is faith and so on. So although confidence and concentration are present with first jhana, the first jhana is not described as having confidence and concentration because they are not strong enough there. Why were they not strong enough there? Because there is the disturbance of vitaka and vichara. But in this second jhana, there are no vitaka and vichara to disturb them. So they become strong. And that is why this jhana, only this jhana is described as having confidence and arousing singleness of mind.
So it says that you don't need vitaka and vichara to create concentration.
Actually, vitaka and vichara are not really hindrance, but they are something like an, what do you call that? Not really obstacle, but some kind of disturbance to strong concentration, let us say, because the first jhana is also strong concentration, but compared with second jhana, it is not so strong.
You need them to get the first jhana.
Yeah.
Then
after that, you eliminate them, you get rid of them, and you get second jhana. You know, first, when concentration of mind is not strong enough, you need vitaka to support you, to support the mind to be on the object. After getting that jhana, you no longer need vitaka. to take you to the to take the mind doesn't need vitaka to take it to the object, so it eliminates or gets rid of vitaka and vichara. Now that is one problem. And another problem is the second jhana is described as without vitaka and vichara. Now, the first sentence is the first sentence also means that it is without vitaka and vichara. So why is there repetition? With the stealing or overcoming of vitaka and vichara. And then here, the second jhana is without vitaka and vichara. So it seems to be repetition again. And the commentator explains away this by giving two or three explanations. The first one is paragraph 146. That means the first explanation is in order to get higher jhanas, you have to eliminate the grosser element, grosser factors. So in order to let you understand this, this phrase is repeated here. With the stealing of vitaka and vichara, and then it is repeated, it is without vitaka and vichara. So that is one reason. It is repeated to show that only by eliminating the grosser factors in the lower jhanas do you attain higher jhanas. That is one explanation. Now, another explanation is the phrase with the stealing of vitaka and vichara is the cause of it's this jhana having confidence and arousing singleness of mind. It shows that it does not show the mere absence of vitaka and vichara, the first phrase, but it shows that because of stealing vitaka and vichara, this jhana comes to be called confidence, and this jhana arouses singleness of mind. So to show this relationship as cause and effect, two phrases are given here.
Now, is this voluntary, or is this... It sounds like you're saying that one voluntarily drops vitaka and vichara in order to achieve a higher state of
consciousness. Yes.
Yeah. But does that just naturally arise out of the... being in the first
Yeah, when it arises, it arises naturally. But before the jhana arises, you have to meditate. So while you meditate, you have the intention to get rid of vitaka and vichara. Because if you cannot eliminate vitaka and vichara, you will not get second jhana.
And you eliminate them through more concentration.
That's right, yeah. First, you arouse dispassion towards vitaka and vichara. It is just by thinking. And then you review, after you emerge from the jhana, you review, you concentrate on the factors, these factors. And so when you concentrate on these factors, since you have found fault with vitaka and vichara, they appear to be gross, and others appear to be subtle. So these two gross factors you eliminate when you get the second jhana. So the elimination or the overcoming of vitaka and vichara is the cause, and the second jhana being with confidence and arousing singleness of mind is the effect. So to show this cause and effect relationship, the first phrase is given here. Then there's another reason given, and that is the second phrase with is without vitakka and vichara means just the absence of vitakka and vichara, nothing more. But the first phrase means not only without vitakka and vichara, but also it is without vitakka and vichara because they have been overcome. So in this case, the first phrase is the cause of the second phrase. Because vitakka and vichara are stilled, or because they are eliminated, there are no vitakka and vichara in the second jhana. So in order to show that these two phrases are given or stated in the description of the second jhana. And then it is born of concentration, and PD and Sukha are the same, to be understood similarly as in the first jhana. Now, born of concentration, there is a problem, because the first jhana is also born of concentration, because if you have no concentration, you cannot get jhana, or you cannot get the excess concentration that is preceding jhana. So if you have no concentration, you cannot get any of these jhanas and the stage of excess. But why is this second jhana described to be born of concentration? Again here, concentration in the first jhana is not so strong as concentration in the second jhana, for the same reason that it is disturbed by vitakka and vichara. So when there is vitakka and vichara, concentration is not so strong, because there is a disturbance of vitakka and vichara. When vitakka and vichara are eliminated, they don't arise, then concentration becomes very strong, and the mind becomes very clear, and concentration becomes very strong. So in order to praise the second jhana, it is described as born of concentration. But we have to take that not only the second jhana is born of concentration, but also the first jhana. Now, on page 164, paragraph 148, about the middle of the paragraph, still it is only this concentration that is quite worthy to be called concentration, because of its complete confidence. Confidence, I mean complete clarity, clarifying, and extreme immobility. What do you understand by immobility?
Something that's still?
Still, yeah. Not moving. Okay. Extreme, I think stillness may be better here.
Stillness.
But the Bali word is achala, so achala means not moving. The translator, I think, wanted to be literal, so he used immobility. But it may mean some other thing than the stillness of mind. So extreme stillness due to absence of disturbance by applied and sustained and so on. Up there, paragraph 147. Besides, this confidence comes about with the act of stealing, not the darkness of defilement. Actually, the word does not mean darkness. It is the word means, you know, turbidness, muddiness, cloudiness of the mind. Not darkness. Its opposite is clear. So turbidness of defilement. And in this jhana, how many factors are there in the second jhana? Three factors: piti, sukha, and unification of mind, ekagata. So three factors, and it abandons two factors, vitaka and vijara. Then we go to the third jhana. So you find fault with piti now. One by one, you're going to eliminate. So, once this has been obtained in this way, paragraph 151, and he has mastery in the five ways already described, then on emerging from the now familiar second jhana, he can regard the flaws in it thus. This attainment is threatened by the nearness of applied thought and sustained thought. Although vitaka and vijara are not in the second jhana, it is close to the first jhana, which has vitaka and vijara. So this second jhana, this attainment means this second jhana, is close to applied thought and sustained thought. Whatever there is in it of happiness, of mental excitement, proclaims its closeness. That means its factors are weak because of grossness of piti, which is described thus in the sutta. This second jhana is declared to be gross with that very piti, because it is a mental excitement which is in it. When you are feeling piti, and you are something like floating on the surface, so piti has the function of exciting the mind. Now this person wants his mind to be very calm and serene, so he finds fault with piti now. And its factors are weakened by the grossness of the happiness, means piti, so expressed. He can bring the third jhana to mind as quieter, and so ends his attachment to the second jhana and set about doing what is needed for attaining the third. When he has emerged from the third jhana, piti appears gross to him as he reviews the jhana factors with mindfulness and full awareness, while sukha and ekagata, unification, appear peaceful. Then as he brings that same sign to mind, the earth again and again, with the purpose of abandoning the gross factor and obtaining the peaceful factors. And when the third jhana is about to arise, not knowing, when the third jhana is about to arise, there arises in him mind or adverting, and so on. They are the same. So now we come to the third jhana. And the third jhana is described in set phrases or set sentences. And we have the translation on the sheet, third jhana. So with the fading away of piti as well, he dwells in equanimity and is mindful and fully aware, and so on. Now, the words "as well" here are said to have the meaning of conjunction. That means meaning some other thing also. That's why it is said here as well. So with the fading away of piti as well, so by as well we can conjoin some others. So they are described in the brackets. With the distaste for, that is fading away, with the fading away and stealing of piti, So here, in the first case, as well conjoin the stealing. So here, with the fading away of pity as well means with the fading away and stealing of pity. Stealing is mentioned in the second jhana. So that is something like not understood, but that is something like taken over to the third jhana. They taken over to the passage explaining the third jhana. So here, with the fading away of PD as well means with the fading away and stealing of PD. Or it conjoins some other thing. So in that case, with the surmounting that is fading away of PD and stealing of vitakka and vijara. So it can mean one of these two things or both of these two things. So with the fading away of PD as well simply means with the distaste for and stealing of PD, or with the surmounting of PD and stealing of vitakka and vijara. He dwells in equanimity and is mindful and fully aware and experiences sukha. Here sukha means both bodily and mental, with his mental body, and enters upon and dwells in the third jhana, on account of which the noble ones announce with regard to a person who has attained the third jhana, he has equanimity, is mindful, and dwells in sukha. Now, this is a third jhana.
He experiences sukha, both bodily and mental, with his mental body.
Yeah, I'll explain later. Now, vitakka and vijara are stills, or they do not arise with second jhana, vitakka and vijara. But here also, with the surmounting, with the stealing of vitakka and vijara, simply is said to praise the third jhana. So in praise of third jhana, sometimes some descriptions of the other jhanas are repeated here. And this is what the commentator is explaining. So actually, there are no vitakka and vijara even in second jhana, much less in third jhana. But in order to show the way to get higher jhanas, and in order to praise the third jhana, it is said here also. Because the stealing of vitakka and vijara is the way or condition for gaining the third jhana. And he dwells in equanimity with regard, in connection with the word equanimity, the commentator gave us nine kinds of let me use a Pali word, nine kinds of upekkha. And it is very important. Whenever you see the word upekkha in Pali suttas, you must understand what is meant. At least, upekkha means feeling or equanimity. Equanimity is not feeling here. Equanimity is impartiality, and this is one of the chetasikas. And feeling is also one of the chetasikas. So they are different. Feeling upekkha is different from equanimity upekkha. This much you have to understand. So whenever you find the word upekkha, you have to see whether it meant feeling upekkha or equanimity upekkha. And here, nine kinds of upekkha are mentioned. And page upekkha.
Actually, we've always pronounced it upekkha.
Yeah. upeka. Now, upeka comes from upa and ikka. So that is explained in paragraph 156. It watches things as they arise. Upa patito ikkati. Upa and ikka. Thus it is equanimity, or upeka, that is onlooking. It sees fairly, sees without partiality. Apeka patita is the meaning. So there are ten kinds of upeka. The first is called six-factored equanimity. It is the equanimity found in the minds of arahants. Because here, a bhikkhu whose kankas are destroyed, that means an arahant, is neither glad nor sad on seeing a visible object with the eye. He dwells in equanimity, mindful and fully aware. So, an arahant, whether he sees a good object or bad object, does not feel glad or sad with regard to that object. He is impartial to these objects. So he can keep that impartiality in the face of objects, desirable or undesirable. And that is one quality of the arahants. Because arahants have eradicated all mental defilements, and so they are not glad with attachment to things, or they are not repulsed by things which are undesirable. And the next one is equanimity as a divine abiding. That is one of the four divine abidings. He dwells intent upon one quarter with his heart and endued with equanimity. That also is not hating and not loving. So looking on with impartiality. And the next one is equanimity as an enlightenment factor. There are seven factors of enlightenment, and equanimity is one of them. He develops the equanimity enlightenment factor depending on relinquishment. So it is neutrality in cognizant states, described as. Actually, neutrality among cognizant states. Neutrality is also a cognizant state. So among the cognizant states arising with the consciousness, this is neutrality, is a mode of neutrality. And this is one of the factors of enlightenment. And the next one is equanimity of energy. Actually, energy is called equanimity here because energy should not be too much or too little. So it must be in the middle. So it is called equanimity here. Actually, it is energy or virya. So neither overstrenuous nor overlax energy. The next one is equanimity about formations. And that arises during vipassana meditation. When a person practices vipassana meditation and reaches the higher stages of vipassana knowledge, then he gains this equanimity about formations. So neutrality about apprehending reflection and composure regarding the hindrances, etc., described thus. That means he doesn't have to make effort to keep his mind on the object. So effortless observation at that moment. And he is neither attached to nor repulsed by what he sees. And then, how many kinds of equanimity about formations arise through concentration? How many kinds of equanimity about formations arise through insight? Eight kinds of equanimity about formations arise through concentration, meaning through samatha meditation. These are the eight jhanas. 10 kinds of equanimity about formations arise through insight. So when you practice vipassana, then you go through these 10 kinds of equanimity. And those 10 are given down and in footnotes. The eight are also given. The eight kinds are those connected with the eight jhana attainments. The 10 kinds are those connected with the four paths, the four fruitions, and the void liberation and signless liberation. Actually, the word liberation is not used in the commentary. It is not void liberation, but dwelling in liberation, dwelling in signlessness. Dwelling in liberation means, dwelling in voidness means contemplating on the voidness of formations. He is still in the stage of vipassana, not at the stage of enlightenment or path and fruition. So here, dwelling in voidness means dwelling on voidness, and dwelling in signlessness means dwelling on signlessness of formations. So when he practices vipassana meditation, he takes the formations as object, and these formations he contemplates on as void. It is, that means void of permanency, void of satisfactoriness, and void of soul or self. And signlessness means the same thing. So these are the 10. So when a person reaches that stage, he gains this equanimity about formation. And then next is equanimity